to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
And welcome, everybody, to the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. Saturday evening, June 2nd, we are into my birth month. 20 days from now, Keith, I will be 32 years old, which is a lot older than 22, and I can remember 22 quite well. That's when I got involved in this crazy game. Actually, longer than that. It's been 12 years. I ran for office. State representative when I was 22 years old. That was 10 years ago. The Buchanan campaign, now 12 years ago. The days are long, but the years are short, as they say, and it all flies by far too quickly when you're having the kind of fun that we have every Saturday night here on the Political Cesspool radio program, coming to you live tonight from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in downtown Memphis, Tennessee, where we leave the studio with a bulletproof vest every evening. And going out to the FM affiliate stations. Now, we actually have a nice little enclave here. AM FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Thepoliticalcesspool.org. As we kick off the program tonight, and we do this from time to time, we don't do it nearly enough. And if we did it for every minute of every show, every week, every month, every year, I still don't think it would be sufficient, actually. Keith said it would be too much, but no. A tip of the hat to the fans of this radio program, the most loyal listeners in all of talk radio. Folks, I know we talk about being a family, and the listening audience is certainly a part of our extended family and how much we appreciate, love, and respect you, but I just feel incumbent to talk to you about, remind you of that fact, I guess, from time to time, so that it doesn't get overlooked. You know, we are the recipients of just really countless emails, letters, comments on the blogs each and every week from people tuning in from all over the world. And I have just a sampling, just a pinprick, a tip of the iceberg of what's come in just this week alone, Keith, and I'm going to share these with you and then make a point about it. This comes in from a loyal listener. He donates every quarter. His name is Charles. He lives in Oklahoma, and he writes, James, keep up the great work. Hit hard on the issues that you're known for, Jewish power and influence, racial hypocrisies. You are a man of real courage for our people. And as Keith is my witness, I'm passing that note down to him. And here, right here, we got this from a lady named Nancy, and I believe she writes in from Missouri, and she actually didn't just write in, Keith. She sent us a card. It's got a squirrel playing a harmonica. And Nancy writes a note of thanks, James and the TPC gang. Many thanks for all of your hard work. Love, Nancy. And it was just a nice card, and it said nothing more than that. But it's just the sentiments of it all. This comes in from a listener across the river in Arkansas, a fine gentleman who supports this show. It says, James, I hope you and the family are doing well. I'm so sorry to hear about Keith's wife's passing. And Keith, of course, you received another letter in the mail from Colorado this week from a listener sending condolences. I'm very glad to hear that you didn't sell out for a big payday. And don't worry about it. God will double it. Please call me if you need anything or any help. I'm just across the river. Give them hell. And that comes from Brian in Ryson, Arkansas. God's country, Keith. And again, we're just reading a sampling here. This comes in from Kentucky. So just out of these four letters, we have Oklahoma, Missouri, Arkansas, Kentucky. You got one in from Colorado this week, Keith, that says, James, just wanted to say thanks for the work you do on behalf of underrepresented, overtaxed middle Americans. You're a breath of fresh air amidst all the neocon blowhards on the radio. I would like to help in any way that I can. Enclosed is my contribution of $15. Thank you, Paul from Kentucky. P.S., I think you should really stress to middle America the importance of contributing occasionally to the political cesspool. After all, the left, multiculturalists, certainly put their money where their mouths and hearts are. That from Paul in Kentucky. And Keith, I know you continue to be touched by the outpouring of love, affection, appreciation for your contributions to the show. I didn't intend to take up a whole segment here, but as I said, if we took up the whole show, we couldn't fully express our gratitude for the listeners, but Keith, I'd like for you to expound upon that before we get down into the topics of discussion for this evening's live show.
I can truly say that I am absolutely humbled by the letters and the feedback that we get from our audience. I think we have an audience that should be on this side of the mic, and we should be on the other side of the mic. We have people that are brilliant, people that have insights, life experiences, and it gives me the faith that America can right the ship. Despite all of the problems that have been thrust upon us by our traitorous elites and by the liberal establishment that has now taken over America, I really think that there are a lot of people out there, and these notes are proof of it, that still have the ideas that ruled our fathers and forefathers, and also they have the moral character of our fathers and forefathers. Why in the world do we, you know, it's normal for every people to follow the lead of their elites. The problem in America today is that our elites totally despise and hate the average American person. When I hear from our audience, I take heart, James. I know that there is still good, sound, high-quality intellects out there among the people over the fruited plain, as Rush Limbaugh says, and they give us the strength to carry on.
Yeah, and I just want to further elaborate on the fact that while it would be impossible, truly impossible, for us to read each and every letter and email we receive each week on the air, rest assured that we do read each and every email and letter we receive in private, and they're all heartwarming, they're all encouraging, and I think it emboldens the audience to hear from each other from time to time. At least, you know, if it provides us with encouragement, certainly I think they should be able to encourage one another as well. And we're going to get into some more listener mail later on in the program tonight, but, you know, we are a team here, and everybody plays their role on the team. And you're part of this team, ladies and gentlemen. You listening on the airwaves tonight, be it on the AM or FM dial, you're listening on the internet, perhaps you're listening on the phone now. Keep in mind, any phone can be turned into a radio. And that's a new feature that is being offered by Liberty News Radio. You can get that number on the website tonight and just call in. There's no reason you should not be listening to the show. We make so many efforts available to you.
And let me add this. When you ever find yourself passing through Memphis or coming close to Memphis, please try to find the time to drop in. Give us a little bit of advance warning, and we would love to meet you. We'd love to break bread with you. We'd love to take you on a tour, because we truly do love our audience, and we want to get to know you all better. You're the best folks in the world as far as I'm concerned.
And, of course, a lot of people have stopped by into Memphis and met up with us. We have a very loyal listener, Keith, in Canada by the name of Keith. His name's also Keith. Everybody with the name of Keith is a stand-up guy. Anyway, he's going to be coming down from Canada later this year to meet with us, and I look forward to meeting him for the first time. So many people out there that make this show possible. The people who contribute to the show, the people who pray for us, you're one of them, you know it, we love you. We got to take a break, we're going to get down to the meat and potatoes of the night right after this, but we wanted to start off the show on the right foot, and there you have it. We'll be right back.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten the free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Frankie Valli leading us in after these intros with Big Girls Don't Cry and Grease just then. You know, Art Frith, our beloved producer, Art Frith, was in Kalamazoo, Michigan on May 31st, 8th row at a Frankie Valli concert. And so I wake up on June 1st, the morning of June 1st, and I have all of these pictures of Art and Frankie. And Art, if you are listening, you can call in and tell us all about it. We'll spend the rest of the hour talking about that. But anyway, no, I don't guess, I guess work must intrude. But Keith, you've got a couple of great articles here that you pulled out of the Communist Appeal. Hopefully, the Memphis Commercial Appeal, which is the daily fish wrap here in town, will go the way of the New Orleans Times-Picayune. New Orleans, now the largest city in the country, to not have a daily newspaper. We're going to talk more about that later in the show as well. But that's an encouraging sign, folks. That's very good news, something we can take heart in. But you got a story here about Southern Baptists. And, of course, I'm a Southern Baptist. I go to a very small church. I get spiritually fed there. But not all Southern Baptist churches are obviously keen on sticking to the Word of God and leaving the political correctness out of their sermons. I went to visit a friend's baptism at the largest Southern Baptist church in the world, Bellevue Baptist, right here in Memphis. And as I was telling you at lunch, Keith, the pastor at Bellevue had a few words to say about Obama's endorsement of homosexual marriage. But before he could get in to saying he disagreed with Obama, he had a 5 to 10 minute apology about white racism. In other words, he's so emasculated that he couldn't stand there and say he disagrees with Obama on this without letting everyone know that the reason he disagrees with Obama is not because he's black, but because he's wrong on the issues. That is how far white guilt and political correctness and cultural Marxism has gone. A 10-minute sermon about how bad whites are, how bad white racism is. It didn't say anything about black racism, but how bad white racism is exclusively, and what's his definition of it? You know, that's another question. Before he could get in to say, you know what, I disagree with the president on this issue. That's sick. And what you've got for us, Keith, is even sicker.
Look, the bulls of the Southern Baptist denomination have been turned into steers, unfortunately, as Steve Gaines is perfect evidence of. So was Richard Land. What a complete falling off he was from his predecessor, Adrian Rogers, of Bellevue Baptist in Memphis. he became the head of the Southern Baptist Convention, kind of the Southern Baptist Pope, if you will. And in that position back in the 80s, he drove the money changers from the temple. Basically what he did was he ran all the moderates and liberals out of Southern Baptist seminaries and put them back on the righteous conservative path of their forefathers. You know, I was saying before, the problem with America today is that we don't have the ideas that ruled our forefathers, and we also don't have the moral character of our forefathers. And the Southern Baptist denomination is Exhibit A in that. Let me read you this. You know, James is always getting on to me. Why do you continue to subscribe to the commercial appeal? And I, like James, hope that I live to see the day when the commercial appeal goes out of business in Memphis. But the reason I do is it's chock full of articles like this. It gives us all the fodder we need for our Behind Enemy Lines segments that really is what started me with this radio program. This is on page A3 of Saturday, June the 2nd, 2012's commercial appeal. The head article on that page, right at the top, Southern Baptists reprimand ethics chief. Richard Land stepped down from being the Pope to being the ethics chief, and he had a nationwide syndicated radio show that was on all of these fundamentalist religious stations, like WCVR here in Memphis, which is this mega station that we have here, probably has the strongest signal of any. Here's what it says. Land also loses radio show after remarks. Nashville. The Southern Baptist Convention's ethics chief was reprimanded Friday and his radio show canceled after he made inflammatory comments about the Trayvon Martin case. Among other things, Richard Land accused President Barack Obama and other black leaders of shamefully exploiting Martin's death for political gain. He also said racial profiling was understandable given the crime statistics for black men. Well, there's rare common sense from a Southern Baptist religious leader. Land's comments upset many black Southern Baptist leaders, one of whom called for Land's resignation. The controversy got more intense when a blogger revealed Land's commentary was copied nearly verbatim from an editorial in the Washington Times, although Land did not credit the newspaper. Look, Richard, you can quote us anytime, and we won't charge with plagiarism. Here, after an investigation, the trustees board of the Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission reprimanded Land for the comments and the plagiarism. Land, who is the commission's president, has previously apologized for both. The commission takes public stands on issues like abortion and same-sex marriage. In his position at the commission's head for nearly 24 years, the outspoken Land has become the Southern Baptist Convention's most visible spokesman. But his comments on Martin came as the nation's largest Protestant denomination is attempting to distance itself from a past that includes support for slavery and segregation, just like every other religious denomination that had churches in the South in the American past. Faced with declining membership, oh, I wonder why that is, the Nashville-based Southern Baptist Convention is trying to broaden its appeal beyond its traditional white Southern base. Yeah, ask the Republican Party how that's working, too. A goal that Land supports. The board's statement, which was released in the Baptist press, calls Land's comments about Martin hurtful, irresponsible, insensitive, and racially charged. We are particularly disappointed in Dr. Land's words because they do not accurately reflect the body of his work over a long career at the SBC towards racial reconciliation in the Southern Baptist Convention and in American life, it reads. We must now redouble our efforts to regain lost ground, to heal reopened wounds, and to realize the dream of a Southern Baptist Convention that is just as diverse as the population of this great nation. There you have it, folks. Complete surrender. You can be a complete and total you know, spineless ninny like Richard Land, and the left will find some way to crucify you. Why make those concessions? Why not speak the truth and shame the devil? That's what I used to hear in church. You know, you said that you are fed in your Southern Baptist church. James, I'm glad to hear it. I can tell you from talking with a lot of other Southern Baptists, they're not fed. They're fed up with the Southern Baptist church, and that's why they are leaving it. You know, the Southern Baptist church was an exception to the rule of declining church membership in almost all Protestant and the Roman Catholic denomination in the second half of the 20th century. They were growing, and they were growing because they didn't make the same concessions to liberalism that all of these other Protestant denominations in particular did, like the Presbyterians Church USA, like the Episcopal Church, like the so-called Seven Sisters of the Mainline. Now they've gotten on board, and you see for the first time that the Southern Baptist denomination is starting to see empty pews. And rather than accurately identifying the problem, which is more liberalism, they administer the poison even more in greater doses. They think that more liberalism is the key to staunching the flow.
All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and allow Keith to have a few final words on this matter before we tell you about the Green Lantern. You remember the song from Donovan, Mellow Yellow, Superman or Green Lantern. Ain't got nothing on me. We'll be back.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
For too long now, those whose ancestors carved from a vast wilderness an awe-inspiring extension of Western civilization have been without any semblance of political representation. Abandoned by the political establishment, we now face the prospect of losing our national identity, culture, and our way of life. But there is hope. There is still time to right these wrongs, and there is a vehicle to organize our people into a force capable of reclaiming America's destiny. The American Third Position is that vehicle. It's a political party for our people, led by extraordinary patriots like Bill Johnson, Kevin McDonald, and myself, James Edwards. Our ancestors, from the gates of Vienna to the sands of Iwo Jima, sacrificed their all in order to secure Providence's most precious gift, freedom. Now it's our turn. Learn more at the American Third Position website, American3P.org. That's American, the number 3, the letter P.org. This is the American Third Position, American3P.org.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta
get out of this place. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. I want to quickly turn it back over to my colleague, Keith Alexander. We're talking about the latest capitulations by the Southern Baptists. And, you know, by the way, Keith, even though the Southern Baptist Church, you know, you look at the history of the Southern Baptist Church, it's split from the American Baptist Church in the Civil War era, and over issues near and dear to our hearts. And so at one time, this was certainly a denomination with which politically, at least, we could agree with. And then now it's gone so far, to say the least, that there weren't a lot of African Americans in the congregation. But the one that is a member of the Southern Baptist Church is now, as of this year, going to be its president. And this is another thing that Steve Gaines was saying during that sermon, at which he wanted to, you know, clarify before taking issue with Obama on an issue that, you know, he wasn't disagreeing with Obama simply because he was black. He was saying, you know, it's long since times past that we have a black man as our president. Well, if race doesn't exist, what's the significance of having a black man as president?
Well, you know, turnabout is fair play, and let's give you a little bit of background on Richard Land.
I just want to say, if Steve Gaines is so charitable with in regards to this issue, why didn't he give away his $1 million-a-year job as pastor of the largest Southern Baptist church in the world and give it to this fella? You know, when's that going to happen?
Well, he's running that particular church into the ground. They're beginning to have empty pews, just like this article indicates, and before it was standing room only. In fact, when you were a member of Bellevue Baptist, you were assigned a ticket, and you were told you have to attend the 7:30 a.m. Service, or you have to go to the 10 o'clock service, or you have to go to the noon service, or whatever they had. In other words, you couldn't just show up there. You had to go where they had room. It was a standing room only proposition back when Adrian Rogers, the great Adrian Rogers, was the head of that church and the head of the Southern Baptist Convention. Of course, we have people now with feet of clay that are more interested in appeasing liberals like Richard Land than people that are interested in appeasing God like Adrian Rogers. See, this is what typically happens. You know, there you cannot make peace with liberals because liberals are atheists in their heart of hearts. Where did liberalism come from? It came from the French revolutionaries, from the philosophes, from Rousseau, and from people like Voltaire. Voltaire used to sign his letters, La race infâme, erase the infamous thing, the church. Diderot, another one of the philosophes, said that mankind will not be truly free until the last king, monarch, is strangled with entrails of the last priest. So they're decidedly anti-Christian and anti-clerical, but the Southern Baptists want to embrace them. You can't, there's no such thing as liberal Christianity. Somebody needs to tell this doofus that. Liberal Christianity is like holy sin. You know, they're two incompatible concepts. They do not belong together. But Richard Land was responsible for crucifying Trent Lott, if you recall, because he was trying to be kindly on the occasion of the 100th birthday of Strom Thurmond, who had, you know, was the head of the Dixiecrats back in 1948. And because he ran for president then, he said that he might have been he really had some good ideas and we should have listened to him.
Well, a rabid dog can't differentiate, Keith. a rabid dog can't differentiate. So Richard Land was toting the water for the cultural Marxist when it came for Trent Lott, and now they're coming for him because he stepped out of line one time.
What was it that the Jews always said? They said, they came for thus and so, and I looked away. And then they came for this other person, and I looked away. And then they came for me, and there was nobody to help me. See, well, Richard Land is suffering the fate of all lamestream mainstream conservatives. All of your concessions aren't worth a biscuit in final analysis. They're coming for you, too. And what has happened with dear old Richard Land is what always happens to people that make concessions and will happen to the Southern Baptist Convention now. How can you trust the Southern Baptist Convention's opposition to gay marriage and homosexuality in light of this? You know, they caved in. They were once strongly for segregation. Now they are totally on the other side of the fence. Believe me, they're going to be, next thing you know, in a Southern Baptist church, you're going to see the minister up there in front of the congregation saying, "I now pronounce you man and sheep."
Well, that's right. And I'm glad you brought that up, because it seems as though our people, and thankfully we have those of us, like us, Keith, who are out here fighting and holding the line best we can, but it seems as though culturally, when it comes to the culture war, we're fighting a retreating battle on all fronts, and the front continues to shift. Now, you know, it's gone well past the last couple of radical egalitarian movements. Now we're into so-called sodomite marriage and sodomite soldiers and this, that, and the other. Green Lantern, you know, we talked about him, the superhero Green Lantern, is now an open sodomite in the comic books produced by Marvel. The story here out of the Associated Press report reads, "Green Lantern, one of DC Comics' oldest and most enduring heroes, is serving as a beacon for the publisher again, this time as a proud and openly gay hero," the story reads. "He's fearless and honest to the point where he realized that he's gay, and he says in the comic, 'I'm gay,'" quote unquote. "It's another example of gay and lesbian characters taking a more prominent role in the comic book medium. In May, Marvel Entertainment said that super speedster Northstar will marry his longtime boyfriend in the pages of Astonishing X-Men. In the Archie comics, Kevin Keller is one of the gang at Riverside High School, and he's gay too," Keith. I want to give it back to you to make, well, there's no sense to be made from that, but offer your thoughts on it. And we're going to take a call after this next commercial break when I get your headset jacked in.
Well, what do they say? Consider the source. Well, what is the source of DC Comics? DC Comics is famous to those in the know of being written, published, created by you-know-who, the good old Sons of Israel. Why is that important? Because they're the most liberal segment of the population that passes for white in America. So consequently, is it any wonder with DC Comics that they are cleaving closely to the liberal line on everything? Now, it's just like Hollywood. 8 major movie studios, 8 Jewish CEOs. Now, they apparently think they have a mission more important than making money. They continue to make these execrable, horrible movies like Red Tails, trying to show their liberal bona fides, trying to brainwash the American public. The American public regurgitates it like any healthy organism does when they receive poison. And this doesn't stop them a bit. They don't care how much of their shareholders' money they lose, as long as they continue in this cultural Marxist long march through the institutions where they're trying to transform us. Apparently, comic books are one of the institutions that the cultural Marxist left has made a long march through. So, we can start writing the obituary for DC Comics now. I'm sure not interested in, you know, seeing a, you know, homosexuality portrayed in comic book format.
Yeah, and of course, obviously, that is intended to impact children. So, you know, it's bad enough that adults have to endure this constant bombardment on their natural senses. But now, obviously, this being geared towards children, this perversion, this sin, this abomination, it's being geared towards kids. And Keith, the final word for you, and I want to tell you about a conversation I had with a random bystander at a park yesterday.
Well, I remember when I was a child, my parents wouldn't let me read DC Comics because they knew that there was something poisonous and bad in it instinctively. That's why I said that if we were ruled by the ideas of our forefathers, if we had the same moral character as our forefathers, America would not be in the situation it's in today. But unfortunately, the left has worked on us from the high ground of academia, from the entertainment industry, from the news media, from just about every other institution, from the church, like we were just talking about with the Southern Baptist Convention. They've worked on us like water on a rock. And as a result, people don't see things as clearly as my parents did. I remember, God bless him, my father taking the family out in 1963 to watch the movie Tom Jones, which he knew was based on the Henry Fielding novel, which was a mainstay of English literature. Even though my father didn't. That was portrayed there.
Don't go away, the Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life for me.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, we're back, and we're back, and we're at full strength now. I want to apologize to the audience there. A few seconds of Keith's commentary there right before the last commercial break were compromised, I understand. result of a little technical interruption here locally on our end at AM 1380. But nevertheless, it appears as though that has been fixed and resolved. So I'm going to turn it back over to Keith, and then we got to quickly get to a caller, Keith.
Let me just say that that little vignette I was giving you about my father marching the family out of the movie Tom Jones in 1963, he was a very moral, upright, righteous man. But you know what? He wasn't a Southern Baptist. He wasn't a fundamentalist. He was an Episcopalian, for crying out loud. If you want to see how the world has changed since 1963, that says volumes right there. And furthermore, I viewed Tom Jones for the first time since that night. I'd never seen the whole movie. I found a video cassette somewhere at a thrift store or something and ran it and watched it. And that movie seems absolutely tame compared to what is being served up by the Sons of Israel in Hollywood today. But you know what? I also saw exactly why my father marches out there, and I saw the exact scene. And my father's radar was absolutely perfect. I mean, God bless him. I tell you, I said a prayer for him when he's passed on to his reward. But I said, you know, thank heavens that I had a father like that.
And with that being said, Keith, we're going to quickly go to Rich in Ohio, who's been patiently waiting. Rich, you're on the air. Waiting on Rich to come up.
Hello?
Yes. Yes, Rich, you're on.
Yes, I just wanted to make a point, a couple points. One point is that you were talking about the Baptist Church. And
right.
I think that the liberals today are trying to appease the blacks. And I think when, there's a lesson in the Bible. It talks about Sennacherib and King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah was the head of the Israelites, and Sennacherib was the head of the Assyrian army. The Assyrian army was a mighty army, and Hezekiah was scared to death of them. He thought they were going to just murder the Israelites. So he went to the temple, and he took all the silver and gold to appease them and gave it to them. And he says, well, this should satisfy them so they won't destroy us. And he says, well, that's nice, but that's not enough. And I think that eventually what King Hezekiah had to do was get on his knees and pray to God for strength, and during the evening that night, I think it was either two-thirds or three-quarters of the Syrian army was destroyed, and God destroyed that army. And he said, I want you to know that I was the one that did it. It wasn't through your might, but my might. And I think what we face today in our enemy, I think what we as a people have to do is get back to God and ask for the strength to deliver us from our enemy.
That, you know what, my friend, point. I'm so glad you called. Thank you for calling in and making that comment, because it's something that Keith and I were talking about during our pre-show rundown before we went on the air this evening. And Keith, basically what he was saying is that he was saying that you will never be able to offer the liberals enough tribute to win their appeasement or to curry favor with them. He then invoked a story from the Bible during which someone was throwing silver and gold at their enemies, and the enemies took it, and they said, thank you, but it's still not enough. And basically, he got to the point where he said that not until our people turn back to God, ask for his strength, will we ever be able to be delivered from this bondage. You will never be able to sacrifice enough ground to where they're satisfied. And that's exactly what we were talking about, Keith. And I retold that story to Keith because he didn't have his headsets on, but it's a story so good, it needed to be told twice so it can sink in. But Keith, I know you have some thoughts to that.
Well, that's absolutely right. You know, there is, you know, don't even start, take the first step down the road to appeasement, because eventually they're going to come after you, as Richard Land found out, as every other lamestream conservative has found out, Glenn Beck, all of these people. Make all the concessions you want. It's never enough. Unless, you know, all they're looking for basically is your death. When you put the gun to your head and pull the trigger, they might be satisfied at that point. But if you don't want to go that far, then basically the thing to do is stand and fight. You know, when you back a man into the corner, you come out swinging. And I want to see more and more people doing that. What happens in America with cultural Marxism is this. It's a soft tyranny. They do things like they prevent your kids from getting into the colleges and universities they deserve. They keep you from getting the jobs you deserve through affirmative action. They may even cause you to lose your job, but all of that doesn't drive people to the wall where they come out swinging. Well, quite frankly, we need to realize that it's all going to, the end game is going to be the same. As T.S. Eliot, the great poet, English-speaking poet, said in his poem, The Hollow Men, this is the way the world will end, not with a bang, but a whimper. Well, I'm tired of seeing people whimper. It's time to come out swinging. They're the enemy. Never forget it.
You know, Keith, I haven't even told you this story yet, and I've been waiting all hour for the appropriate moment to infuse it into the conversation and present it to the audience. You know, don't fall under the illusion, ladies and gentlemen, that all people think this way. You know, we've said it time and time again. Fundamentally, I still feel as though that a majority of red state Americans, that being just about everybody that lives between California and New York, fundamentally agree with us on these issues. Fundamentally speaking. And of course, I'm at a position to where I can see how many people agree with us through the correspondence that we alluded to earlier in the program, the letters and emails that come into the show. But just very random yesterday, I took my daughter to a park near here. My wife was doing some work at the house. Our baby girl was acting a little wild. And so, you know, I let her go run some of that energy out at the park. And it just so happened we were there for a few minutes. And another young lady in her mid-20s came up with her three-year-old son. And, you know, we said hello. We were the only people there, so it would have been awkward not to talk. And I said hello, and she said hello. And we talked a little bit about parenthood and this, that, and the other. And she said that she was in nursing school, and she kind of shifted the conversation this way. Well, she told me that she was in nursing school and that they were thinking of moving to Chattanooga. And I said, oh, you know, I've been there a few times. Chattanooga's very nice. It's Tennessee's very scenic. And I think, you know, that you know, would enjoy it there. She said, yeah. She said, basically, you know, the reason is, well, my grandparents told me you don't want to live anywhere near the Mississippi River. And I looked at her with a little grin, and I kind of knew perhaps where she might be going to. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? She said, well, you know, just demographically speaking. She said, you know, and you don't, the closer to the Delta, the further away you want to get. And I said, oh, well, you know, so you're talking about, you know, the cotton. You're talking about cotton. And I said, yeah, well, you know, they typically stay where they were put. And she said, yeah, exactly. She says, you know, to be honest with you, I have a three-year-old son. My mom's a nurse. I'm in nursing school. My mom works at a hospital downtown. And she said, it's very scary here. She said, basically, you know, the black population is too violent. She doesn't want to raise her kids here. She said this, and she said this as God is my witness, that she was afraid that the blacks here in Memphis would instigate a race war. So, Keith, this is just, and she had no idea who I was. She didn't know I was James Edwards of the Political Cesspool. See, I'm hamstrung by radio. I'm way too handsome to be on radio, but I can't get on television, so I just do what I do here. See, if I'd been on television, maybe she would have recognized me. But I didn't even get into the show. I didn't mention, okay, well, you know, by the way, this is what I, you know, I just let her do the talking. And I, of course, agreed with her without, you know, egging it on too much. But the fact is this. I'm at the park. Young, cute, educated, you know, mother comes up with her child, and just in the flow of a casual conversation, she offers this. I don't know her from Adam, never seen her before. And, you know, she obviously has a healthy sense of realism when it comes to this so-called taboo issue. And she's moving a few exits down the turnpike to get away from it. But it just goes to show, or to prove my point, that a lot of people, many more than those who rely on the establishment media to give them their daily bread would realize, certainly still agree with us, and they live their life that way.
Well, not only that, all the elites know that, too. This cultural transformation of America is a mile wide and an inch deep. Most people, even the elites, insist on living with their own kind. They don't have any more to do with, the black underclass than they possibly can. And the other problem, though, is that people think they can get away from it by moving. Well, the demographic change that's predicted for America, by 2042, whites will be a minority in America. What's happening in Memphis is coming to Chattanooga, and what is happening in Chattanooga is coming to Dubuque, Iowa.
And Keith, you know, what is she talking about when she talks about violence? Well, the Council of Conservative Citizens is probably the best website on the internet when it comes to documenting this disproportionate amount of crime that such a small percentage of the community, overall population, commits. We've got a couple of examples. Just this week, a woman at McDonald's, a white woman at McDonald's, asked a couple of black ladies to stop littering, and they beat her to a bloody pulp for daring to say that to him. Another story we have up, and this is all from local news affiliates in the different parts of the country where this is occurring, and it occurs everywhere, where you have a healthy dose of diversity. But a store clerk, a young girl trying to earn a few extra dollars to go to school, she catches a minority shoplifting, and she is gets beat over the head for her trouble. Anyway, we've got to take a break, folks. As I said, the disclaimer always is we all have our acquaintances of other races, and thank God for that, that aren't engaged in this kind of behavior, that are doing good work, and that are productive members of society. But the rule still stands, and the exception proves the rule. We'll be back after this, second and third hour forthcoming. You're listening to The Political Cesspool. I'm James Heath Keith. We'll see you in a minute. Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his Fruit of the Looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the amen.